It is one of the most well-known sacred images in the world, and it's also one of the most mysterious. History and tradition holds that the original Divine Mercy image was painted under the guidance of Saint Faustina herself, and it was based on a mystical vision she had of Jesus. Now, it adorns countless parishes and sacred spaces around the world and is the source of much devotion and adoration. Daniel Da Silva is the founder of the original Divine Mercy Institute and the director of the original Image of Divine Mercy documentary. Daniel is joining me this morning to tell us more about the image. Good morning, Daniel. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Brenda. Thanks for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
You know, it's wonderful to be able to talk to you this week. Of course, coming right off of Divine Mercy Sunday, it is always the Sunday after Easter. And we can thank Pope St. John Paul II for bringing forward this message of Divine Mercy, a message that, well, was almost lost to the world. What a gift it is to the world. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you first came to know about the image of Divine Mercy?
Well, sure. I was in, I was traveling in Europe in 2007, and I was approached by a priest who said, he indicated that I should come with him. And so I did, and he took me to a little chapel, and he said, this original image, and he said it like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little bit dumbfounded because I wasn't in Krakow. And he said, no, Father, that can't be the right image. That can't be the original image. Everybody knows that St. Faustina is Polish and she lived in Krakow. And surely the image is in Krakow hanging over the relics. This original picture, St. Faustina, original painting. And I said, come on. And then he said, tonight you sleep here. And he let me sleep in the church that night and pray with this supposed original masterpiece. And so I did. He made a little pallet for me. And the next morning there was Mass at 6 o'clock. And there were some nuns in the front row of, you know, at Mass. And I was there. And after Mass, I asked these nuns, I said, this crazy priest is trying to tell me that this is the original painting of Divine Mercy. And it can't be, right, sister? Because we're not in Krakow. We're in Vilnius, Lithuania. And the nun said, not only is this the original masterpiece, and not only is this priest a little crazy, she said, Father Vidas actually stole the painting and brought it here. And I was blown away. And I realized instantly that all the people that taught me about Divine Mercy and all my friends that knew about Divine Mercy, devoted to passing out holy cards and spreading the message and all that stuff, none of them had ever given me a holy card with this painting on it. So when we say that it's the most popular, one of the most popular paintings or images, the truth is that there are a lot of other paintings or versions that people call Divine Mercy that are very, very popular. This is probably one of the least popular images, and nobody knows where it's at, and very few people have seen it in its pristine form. So I instantly was obsessed, and I became, I decided to do some research, and I did research, and then I made a documentary about 6-7 years later, and the rest is history.
Wow, it is history. And as I said in our open, a history that we almost didn't even know about, not for St. John Paul II, who had a devotion and a knowledge of the writings of St. Faustina. Of course, many of us have read them in her diary. Now, St. Faustina herself spoke of this image, and under her guidance, this image was created. Now, I believe I am not the only one to have heard this, that original image she didn't like. And so that's how other images of Divine Mercy came about. Is that the case? Did St. Faustina not like this original version?
No, not at all. That's not in the least bit true. And this is controversial. because there are some very prominent divine mercy spreaders, authorities, people that write books about divine, do speeches, make videos about divine, who have perpetuated the myth that she didn't like the original painting. And it's nowhere does she say that she doesn't like it. In fact, she was completely and absolutely obsessed with the painting until her dying day. She begged, because Jesus begged, she begged the curator of the painting, who was her spiritual director, Father Michael Sopochko, who also paid for the painting and who also modeled for the painting and who was also in the room every time St. Faustina described her vision to the artist, whose name is Eugenius Kazimierowski. She begged Father Michael Sopochko, who's now a blessed, to place the painting in public so that it can be venerated according to the wishes of Jesus. Jesus insisted to St. Faustina that this painting, and at the time there was only one, for 10 years there was only one painting, that this painting be venerated in public. She wrote letters to Father Michael Sopochko that are not included in the diary, begging and begging that the painting be venerated in public. The way the myth started is a misreading of the diary, which, by the way, is a narrative about the painting. The diary is really the story of how difficult it was to have the painting made, how difficult it was for her to have the painting venerated in public. The whole diary is about the painting, save some things that Father Sopochko insisted that she write, and Jesus insisted that she write, including the chaplet, entries about the new foundation, the order of nuns that she was to found. But for the most part, the diary is a story about the painting. In fact, the first words of the diary, and I'm not going to recite a whole bunch of it, but it begins like this. The very first words of the diary: O eternal love, you command your sacred image to be painted and reveal to us the inconceivable font of mercy. You bless whoever approaches your rays, and a soul all black will turn into snow. O sweet Jesus, it is here you establish your throne of mercy. And by here she means the painting. To bring joy and hope to sinful man, from your open heart, as from a pure font, flows comfort to a repentant heart and soul. And she goes on. Those are the opening lines of the diary, which, I'll say it again, is about the painting and the effort that it took to do the painting. So the way the myth started is a misreading of this narrative. What happened was, when the painting was finished, the artist presented it to her, and she wept. She wept. She didn't say, oh, what a horrible painting, or, oh, it doesn't look like Jesus, or you've used the wrong colors. Or she didn't say anything. She wept. And then she ran to her convent, where she spoke with Jesus and said, who will paint you as beautiful as you are? That would be like me saying to you, Brenda, your beauty is so far beyond canvas and color and paint that Michelangelo couldn't do it. He would break his sticks in half and say, I quit, if he saw your beauty. Oh. This is very different than, oh, the painting's terrible. This is a commentary on the beauty of Jesus. This is a commentary on the beauty of really any individual who can be seen by another with more than just the eyes. And this is what St. Faustina was taking in. She was seeing the very glory of God. Know what happened to Moses when he saw God, when he saw the glory of God. Know what happened to St. John the Apostle when he was given a glimpse of heaven. Know and understand what happened to St. Thomas Aquinas when he said, burn the Summa Theologica. What has been revealed to me is beyond this. He said, the Summa Theologica is straw. Burn it. That's what's happening here. This has nothing to do with the art or the Summa or the painting. It has to do with the incomprehensible, unfathomable, inabsorbable beauty of Jesus in his glory. That's what this is about. The painting she loved.
Oh, Daniel, I cannot tell you how much comfort I find in knowing that that beautiful image of divine mercy was also seen to be a thing of beauty to Saint Faustina. Daniel, there is more I want to talk to you about because you keep referring to the message and the image being so closely linked, that the message is about the image. And I want to know more about that, but I'm already coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in our next half hour?
Of course, let's do it.
And I am back with Daniel Da Silva. He is joining me today because we are having a very intriguing discussion about the original image of Divine Mercy, an image that I now know was loved by Saint Faustina herself, and an image that doesn't lie at Krakow, but in another place in the world, so that way it was saved for the whole world. Daniel, thank you so much for staying with me today.
My pleasure. It's really great to be here with you.
Daniel, in our first half hour, you began to talk about, and I was realizing that the message of divine mercy that we find in the diary of Saint Faustina is, as you put it, about the image, that the message in the image are divinely linked, I would say. Why is that important that the message and the image always be seen together?
Well, a lot of people, when they refer to the, quote, message, they're referring to the diary. And there is a message in the diary. But it's interesting to note that when Jesus made promises regarding divine mercy, he said, for example, when he first asked her, paint an image according to the pattern that you see, he said that he will defend the souls that venerate this image as his own glory. I'm offering up people a vessel, he said, to which they keep coming for graces. That vessel is this image. He said, by means of the image, and again, there was only one image at the time, by means of the image, I shall grant many graces to souls. He made promises about the image. It's important to note that he never, not once, did he make a promise about the diary. To those who read the diary, I will defend. He never said such a thing. He never said to those who own the diary, I will defend his memory. He never said anything like that. He said these promises were made about the image. These promises were also made about praying the chaplet. But it was never about the diary. The diary was the idea of Father Michael Sopochko. Jesus never asked St. Faustina for a diary. Father Michael Sopochko was her spiritual director, was listening to St. Faustina's confessions, and during confessions, she would tell Father Michael Sopochko all these stories about Jesus wants me to make this painting, and he wants to tell me about divine mercy, and he said, listen, I don't have time to listen to your long confession. Write it down. In his own memoirs and in his own diary, Father Sopochko says he didn't believe a word she was saying. So he asked her to write it down just to sort of get rid of this, to get rid of her, and to not have her give these lengthy confessions. So that's where we have the diary from. It's special. It's important to note. And the diary is fantastic. I'm taking nothing from the diary. It's an amazing read. Everybody should read it. But Jesus didn't ask her for the diary. Jesus left his throne in heaven, he said, to ask for this painting to be done. The message is in the painting more so than it is in the diary. But we have to have eyes to look. We have to have the eyes to see what's happening in this painting, the details in this painting, what God is revealing about his son, what Jesus is revealing about his divine mercy through this painting. Or he would have said, I left my throne in heaven to ask you to write a diary. He never said that. This whole devotion is about this painting and the chaplet, and the chaplet is about the painting, and the painting is about the chaplet, and it's all about begging for and receiving divine mercy from Jesus.
If you are just tuning in, Daniel Da Silva is joining us today. Daniel is the founder of the original Divine Mercy Institute, and he's joining me to talk more about this image that I now know Saint Faustina commissioned and loved herself. All right, Daniel, so you spoke of that night that you slept in front of the original image, not in Krakow, but in Lithuania, and you've been talking about the details. Now, I think on the surface, many of us will look. It's a black background, Christ in the front of it, touching his sacred heart with the blood and water pouring out, the divine mercy pouring out on all of us. Jesus, I trust in you, printed on that. But as you looked upon that, and as you've spent more time over the years learning and examining this image, what were some of the things that you were able to see that maybe at first glance one wouldn't notice?
Well, I'll start out by saying that if what Jesus said is true, and I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but if what Jesus said is true, that by means of this image, I will be given graces, those who venerate this image I will defend them as my own glory. He said a lot of things like that about the image. If that's true, then wouldn't the devil want to distract you from looking at this image? If this image is as important as Jesus said it was, and as St. Faustina said it was, and as Father Sopochko said it was, then wouldn't the devil want to have 1,000 different versions of this image, all of which dilute the message in the image? And that's what's happening, beginning with the word, and this is not the most important aspect of the image, but it's an important one. The words, "Jesus, I trust in you," were never a part of the vision of St. Faustina. When she saw Jesus floating in the air, above the altar during Mass, before the consecration, at the consecration, he would disappear. But before the consecration, he was in the air. There was no scroll that said, "Jesus, I trust in you." This is a separate element to the composition that Jesus added. Never ask St. Faustina, paint an image according to the pattern that you see, and also paint "Jesus, trust in you." He said, "I want the signature to accompany the painting." So the signature and the painting are separate.
I see. As was
done in the time of St. Faustina, and is still done today. The words, "Jesus, I trust in you," are outside of the painting. This is important. It can become very important, and I'll take us there just a little bit. They're on the frame. Those words are on a metal plate on the frame. Why? We are not allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies. This realm where Jesus appears and what St. Faustina is painting is this unspeakable beauty. That signature, and it's odd that he would call it a signature, but it is our signature. It's our signature, and it doesn't go where Jesus is. It's out here. It's in the world. It's not in eternity with Christ. We say it from here in the world, and so it stays on the proscenium, if you will, on the outside, like a theater has a frame, a picture has a frame. We're on the outside of the frame. What's in that frame is untouchable and is not really there. In this particular case, it's a picture of the Holy of Holies. And our words don't go there. Our words are prayer, and they stay out here with us. And it's a signature. It's our own identity, really, that we're signing there. We sign, "Jesus, I trust in you." We sign that. It's like a contract. Our signature means a contract. We're signing up for that relationship with Jesus. It's not part of the painting. So when you see it as part of the painting, it's an augmentation. It's photoshopped. It's altered. And it does a disservice, because when they add it to the painting, they have to do some manipulation down there. And a lot of times they show Jesus standing on a little blue globe or something so they can make room for there's no room for the words at the bottom of this painting. So changing the painting changes the meaning, and it's dangerous. I say, leave it the way it is.
Oh, Christ is enough the way that he appears in these beautiful images. Daniel, you talked about leaving it alone. It is enough. And if you look on your webpage, you have those available in frames. Tell our listeners, not only do they have access to that, but you have so many more resources on your webpage. Where can they learn more?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. Our website is originaldivinemercy.com. And at the website, we sell prints on paper and canvas, and we very strictly adhere to the dimensions, to the ratio, to the way the original was composed by St. Faustina and Father Sopochko. We never print "Jesus, I trust in you" on the canvas under the feet of Jesus. We always put it on a metal plate. Our work is intended to be the highest caliber work available in the world. The print itself is not a photo of the original masterpiece. It's a scan. It's a 9,000 dpi dots per square inch, 9,000 dpi print scan of the original. It was done at great cost, and these prints that we sell on our website are pristine, and no one, myself or anyone else, will ever see the original masterpiece as clearly as they can from one of our prints. Even if they were to go to Vilnius, there's bulletproof glass in front of the original painting, and there's reflection of light, and you know, it's far away. One of these prints, you can really get up close and see and venerate the way I think Jesus intended for it to be venerated.
Oh, it is incredible. And now that I know so much more from you, Daniel, I appreciate and love this image all the more. I appreciate your time today, Daniel, and thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
And again, that is Daniel De Silva. He is the founder of the Original Divine Mercy Institute. I will be sure to add a link that'll get you right to his webpage that we were talking about. You can look at those images. And also, while you're there, look and see ways that you can also obtain the Original Image of Divine Mercy documentary film. It is also available on DVD from the website. And I'll be sure to add those links that you can get right to it on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.